Welcome to the ESBC Pulpit. ESBC Pulpit is a ministry of the Eastside Baptist Church in Bartlett, Tennessee, and it's preaching that comes from the pulpit of Eastside Baptist Church. There, and welcome back once again to the ESBC Pulpit podcast. We're glad that you've joined us once again this week for another episode. And this week, the episode comes straight from the pulpit of Eastside Baptist Church. Missionary Harry Peart was our guest speaker this week, and he spoke on Paul and gave us some examples of from the missionary Paul and some things that we see in his life that we can apply directly to our lives as individual believers. So listen as Brother Harry Peart preaches on Paul.
Sonify the biblical truth that the church is the people, not the building. And I think you would gather together in a group, and that's the biblical truth. And no matter where you are, in Haiti, we started our churches under tarps and had people saved. And one time we sewed a bunch of rice sacks together to give some shade from the sun. And wherever you are meeting together, a group of called out people, that is the church, and I think it's a wonderful thing. So it is good to be back with you here at Eastside Baptist Church. And my wife, Melissa, is here. And I think the last time I was here, I had to come by myself, I think. Maybe she was with me, I don't remember. I remember one time I came by myself because I felt out of sort. But anyway, it is good to be back with you. Continue to pray for those, the Christians and people in Haiti. The country of Haiti is just on a downward spiral more and more every week. Currently, the situation in the country, there is no government. It has dissolved. They are, once the president was assassinated, that was the reason why we couldn't go back. It was kind of rough in the country, and we were planning to go back. And then when the president was assassinated, there was no one in clear authority because the prime minister had just resigned, and there was no one in place to take, as far as the succession of power, there was no one in place to take over. And so there was an acting prime minister, but the people did not receive him. They rejected him. So it's just been a downward spiral, and it's in a complete state of anarchy right now. However, the churches are still functioning that we started. In fact, our second church that we started, they started another church. All without me being there. Isn't that great? You know, so that was a huge blessing. They started another church in a different area, and it's going strong. The schools are still functioning. The Lord's providing support to be able to send down each month, and we were able to take care of those needs. There's 41 employees, over 650 kids in the different schools. And so it's a blessing. They have Bible 3 days a week and chapel 2 days a week. And so 5 days a week they're hearing the Word of God and seeing souls saved through that. So we continue to pray for those Christians, our Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to pray for them. And Haiti is not unusual. There are a lot of countries like that, persecution in a lot of countries. There are secret churches. What we're doing today, right now, would be illegal in many countries. This would be illegal in many countries. And so we need to pray for those. The book of Hebrews tells us to pray for those that are bound in bonds. And I think some of that is because of persecution. And we have Christians that are in jail in other countries, and so there are needs all over the world to pray for those in persecution. And on Sunday, think about this. Because of the different time zones all over the world, on Sunday, it's a complete 24 hours of praising and worshiping God on Sunday. And don't you think the devil hates that? And he's going to try to do everything he can through powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness to try to stop people from worshiping Jesus. And so in every language and tongue and all around, we're praising the Lord, and I thank you so much. So pray for us. We figure out what the next step for us. We're not going to be able to go back to Haiti. I went a couple of years ago for a week during the summer, my son and I, and we got all our sentimental stuff out of our house, got our pictures, some of the things the kids had made for us. We had a door in the house where we marked the kids as they grew up, you know, and so I really wanted to bring that back, but I didn't know what to do, so my son took a saw and cut the door in half, and we put that half on the plane and brought it back. So we have that, but everything else we just left there and locked it up, and I don't know what'll happen, but the Lord knows. It's all His anyway. I struggled with that, to be honest with you. I went through a period of frustration. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I went through a period of frustration, anger, a little bit of bitterness, but then I had just come to the realization that it was never mine to begin with, and it's all the Lord's, and He moves, and He sends us wherever, and so you pray for those people, and pray for the Lord to have His will, and see where the Lord has us. Right now, we're working at a Christian school, and my wife is over the special education department there, and I'm vice principal at the school, so we'll see what the Lord has. Who knows? The Lord's we're the Lord's servant. Wherever He has us go, that's where we'll go. But anyway, today I want to talk to you a little bit about the Apostle Paul. When we went to Haiti, there were all kind of different philosophies about missions and missiology and different models and things of that nature. And Brother Futrell and I were talking just before. Really, when you start out doing something, you really don't know what you're doing. You just have to go and do that. You know, you gain life experience through things. And sometimes we learn by mistakes. I always tell the students and everyone, a mistake is not a mistake if you learn something. We call it a life lesson. That's what we learn. But if you keep repeating it, it's a mistake. But if you learn and move on, then we call it a life lesson. That's where you learn things, and you just have to ask people for advice, and you have to say, what am I doing? And when I, you know, went to Haiti, there were a lot of things that I wasn't ever taught how to do. I didn't know. It was on the job training, you know. Sometimes that was the way it is. And I don't know if you all know this or not, but I grew up as a PK. My kids are MKs, missionary kids. But I grew up as a PK. And the lessons that I learned from my dad enhanced my ministry tremendously in the country of Haiti. I never knew, growing up as a plumber's kid, what the things that I would need that my dad... I rebelled against some of the things my dad tried to teach me, but I was able to weld my vehicle back together. We had indoor plumbing. In a third world country, we had indoor plumbing because I thought, why not run the pipe to the outhouse? We had indoor plumbing. We had gravity-fed water. I mean, it was a blessing. I thought, why, you know, let's put some of this to practice. And so, and believe you me, my dad said, I told you so more than once. We learned. But we learn from people. We learn from experience, our experience. And I'll tell you this, young people, all of you young people here, it is a lot easier to learn from other people's mistakes than your own mistakes. So take advice from people who have been there, done that, never want to repeat it. And so that was not in here, that's free. But anyway, but the fact is, Paul was, I don't think we could have a better example of a missionary than the Apostle Paul. And there are things in Paul's life that we can apply, even if you're not a full-time missionary, not going to the field, there are things that you can apply to your life because Paul was not only a missionary, but he was a Christian. He was a born-again believer and a servant of Jesus Christ. In fact, he says that many times, servant of Jesus Christ. Paul never boasted of himself. He could have, but he never really put forth all these things and grandeur and all that. Paul bragged on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are things we can learn from the Apostle Paul. There are a lot of things we read in the New Testament. There's a lot of books about the Apostle Paul. A lot of commentaries and things like that. He was most likely born about the same time that Jesus was born, probably within the same decade that Jesus was born. There's no evidence that he was ever at the same place. Maybe could have, but no biblical evidence that he was at the same place as Jesus was at the same time. But he was born by his name Saul of Tarsus and schooled as a Pharisee. He became a traveling missionary. He also was a tent maker. That was his trade. All Jewish boys, they were taught a trade so that they could use that to make a living. And that's what Paul, he was taught how to make tents. It would be on the same line of learning how to build houses today in our Western society. He was in prison multiple times. He wrote several theological letters correcting issues in the church, because remember, we've got the New Testament, we've got the Bible. They didn't back then, and they were doing the best they could. Sometimes we want to read and say, how dare they, how bad those people were. But remember, they were doing the best they could at that time. And so he died somewhere between 62 and 64 AD, but he most likely died as a martyr. But we can read certain definite details about the life of Paul, and that's what we're going to look at today. Paul was saved, and then he began to serve God after he was called. But that's where we are in the book of Acts, chapter 9. Very familiar passage in verses 1 through 9. And we're going to look at some other passages as well, but let's begin here. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way." Now, let me stop here and say, the book of Acts is a transitional book. It changes titles of people. It changes names of people. It changes a lot of things because it's a transition book. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, the disciples are the 12 men. He talks about the disciples, those men that follow. In the book of Acts, they changed and call them apostles. Believers in the Gospels are changed and they call them disciples. And the new religion, not Judaism, but it's called the Way. And eventually they'll be called Christians. Saved people will be called Christians. So it's a transitional. So this phrase here, found in the Way, anytime you see that, that's talking about the new religion, the new people that are believing in Jesus Christ is what they're talking about. So that's what he says. So found of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. Father, thank you so much for your word and how powerful and true it is. Lord, there are so many things that we can learn from just this one account of the life of the Apostle Paul. I pray that you help us to open our minds, open our hearts, and use me today, Lord Jesus, in all my faults and failures and frailties. Use me as you see fit to preach this message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So Paul was saved. He became a believer. He was a Jew, but he was not a believer in Jesus Christ. He knew about Jesus. He knew of the people of this way, but he was fighting against it. He was trying to do that. In fact, one book I read, he was talking about the persecutor becomes the proclaimer. Paul was persecuting the church, trying to destroy the church. And that's when Jesus said, "You're fighting against me." He said, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And in this word here is talking about like an ox goad, something you would use to push animals forward. And so that's what he was saying. I'm trying to push you in the right direction and you're fighting against me. I don't know if you've ever dealt with a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. You're wanting them to do something, trying to put their clothes on them and things like that, and they're fighting against you. You ever had some of you are smiling, you know, because you've been there, done that. And as grandparents, you can just let them do whatever, and it's okay. You know, I love it, my grandkids, you know. And it's the wonderful, we had them last, I think it was over Christmas or something. Anyway, we had them for 4 or 5 days, and we didn't get much sleep. Now, my wife is looking at me because she actually stayed up with them more than I did. But anyway, they would get up at different times. They were off their schedule. You know, 3 and 1 is their ages. And when their mom and dad came back, we were never so happy to see my son and daughter-in-law. And I love my grandkids, don't get me wrong. But they were wild, and they were just going on and on. And, you know, then they started crying and this, that, and the other. They didn't want to leave and all. And we were packing them up as fast as we could. You know? And I said, "Here, let me help you switch the car seats over. Let me do this," you know, which I hate doing car seats. That was the great thing about living in Haiti. No car seats. We never had to have car seats. But I was like, "We got to get them." And we got them out. Got them out the door. I think I even locked it after that, you know. But it was kind of a relief. I hated to see them go, but I was glad. I don't know. It's kind of like a mixed emotions there. And but you know, they didn't want to get dressed. I remember one day Riker, my 3-year-old. Well, we just let him stay in his pajamas all day. Who cares? It's grandma, you know, Grammy and Peepaw's house. Who cares? You know, they stay in their pajamas all day. You know, but you're trying to do that and they're fighting against you. That's the idea here. God was trying to work, and Paul, at this time he's known as Saul, is fighting against that. That will happen in people's lives. When you try to give the gospel to them, sometimes they will fight against you. You will have people at your job place and you try to invite them to church and they say, "Don't you ever tell me that again." That's the outside, but inside they're saying, "I need help." You say, "Well, you know, could I pray for you?" And they say, "Don't ever pray for me." But inside they're saying, "I don't know what else to do." Outwardly is one thing, inwardly is something totally different. Pray for them, that God would use you in their life. And that's what God was saying, "Paul, I'm trying to do something and you're fighting against me." Now, sometimes God uses tribulation in our life to teach us something, but then there's sometimes there's tribulation in our life because we're fighting against God. And we need to come to the point where we evaluate that and say, is there something in my life that I need to get right? And if you say, I'm right before God, then you say, what is God trying to teach me through this? And so Paul was, he was saved at this point in time. His life changed. And by the way, let me stop here and say this. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it should change you. There should be a change. Then that's a biblical thing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, therefore he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And notice he didn't put a timetable on that. We grow as Christians. My little 3-year-old grandson, he is smart as a whip. I mean, he's smart, takes after his grandfather. But he is so smart. And I'm not sure what to take from that laughter there. But anyway, but the thing is that, but he has to grow. He has to learn things. And I have to be patient with him. You know, and sometimes I think I'm more patient with my grandkids than I were my kids. In fact, my youngest daughter, she's in Utah right now on a missions trip. And she just graduated. You know, it's our last one. We're finally going to get them all out of here. And we're going to downsize so they can't come back. You know, but anyway, we just got out. And there's things that you learn as they grow. And, you know, the newborn babes in Christ, we have to have patience with them. They have to grow. And they have to learn things. And we learn through the Word of God. And that's why Paul, when he was saved, he began to learn things. Now, if you read all of the accounts of the Apostle Paul, there's a great book, it's called Harmony of the Life of Paul, and it goes through, it pulls in everything from the book of Acts and all of his epistles. And you can kind of get a timeline of the life of the Apostle Paul. After he was saved and they let him down out of the basket there in Damascus, remember that? He goes back to Tarsus for about 2.5 years, somewhere around there. And he studies the Word of God. Then Barnabas goes and finds him and brings him back. But he went through that growing process. It wasn't like he got saved and started churches the next day. Acts chapter 9 is his salvation. He doesn't start with the missionary journey until Acts 13. And so there's that time we have to be patient. We have to let those grow. We have to let them grow. And we have to be teaching. So Paul was saved. He came to the point to he realized that he was a sinner. He believed that Christ died and paid for his sin. And he called upon him to be saved. You know, there was a time in my life where I realized that I was lost. I had made a profession of faith when I was about 5 or 6 and even got baptized. But there was never a change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I quoted for you a little bit ago, there has to be a change. If you're a new creature, all things behold, all things become new. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'll eventually get to it. My mind went blank there. But anyway, we become a new creature. We don't mature overnight, but there should be a difference. You see, when I had made the profession of faith, I was doing things and I was going to church because my mom and dad made me go to church. There were things that I knew I better not do because I had a healthy fear from my parents and spanking and things like that. I knew that I better not do this, do that. But there were certain things that I didn't want to do and because there was never a change inside. But when I was 16 years old at a Christian camp in North Carolina, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and there was a change inside. I wanted to memorize the Scripture. And not just to win an award or get a prize in Sunday school. It's because I wanted it to be in my heart. I wanted to go to church then. I wanted to go on visitation on Saturday. My dad wanted me to go. When I was growing up, my dad worked a lot. He owned his own business. He was a plumber. And he worked a lot, and he did. But every Saturday, we were either in the boat or in the woods. We spent all, that's what we did all the time. And I would go on visitation. He would want me to go hunting with him. And there was some strife there for a while because I wanted to follow the things of God and I wanted to go on visitation. My wants changed. So when you get saved, and it doesn't happen overnight, but there should be a change. At Eastside Baptist Church, there's the thought process, come as you are, but don't leave that way. We want to see everybody come in, but we don't want to see them leave the same way they came in. We want Jesus to change their life. We want there to be a change in their life. And so that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. There was a change in his attitude. There was a change in his direction. There was a change in his demeanor. All of those things he changed because he got saved. He realized that he was a sinner. He believed that Christ died. And he called and asked him to save him. And we're going to see a different account of that situation later on. But Paul was saved. Verses 15 and 16 of Acts 9, Paul was called. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. He's talking to Ananias at this point in time. He said, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things, notice this, he must suffer for my name's sake. Have you ever wanted to say, I wish God would just put everything on a piece of paper that he wants me to do and give it to me so I'll know and I won't have to worry and wonder? Some of us would run the other way. Now think about this. Paul, later on in 2 Corinthians, he gives a list of all the things he went through. How many times he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was shunned, he was run out of town. He goes through all those things. And God showed him those things he would suffer, and he went and did it anyway. When we went to Haiti, I remember I was excited about two things. I was excited, and this, you know, shows you how much little I knew. I was excited about getting some neat missionary stories, which I got enough. In fact, if my life is boring the rest of my life, it'll be okay. But anyway, getting some neat missionary stories and learning another language. I was excited about learning another language, to be able to talk to people in another language. But I never once thought about some of the difficulties that we would go through. In fact, if I would have known some of that stuff, I probably would have just said, maybe somebody else will go. In fact, I'm glad I didn't know some of the sicknesses we would go through, some of the difficulties, some of the life-threatening things that we would go through. I'm glad I didn't know about that. And the Lord protected us through many things. There were some times that we went through situations, and then later on, after that, we realized we could have been killed. But at the moment, it didn't even cross our mind, to be honest with you. One time I was riding my motorcycle, and I was going through an area, and I thought, why did I go through this area? I've never been through here before. And I thought, man, this looks like where they kidnap people and tie them up and leave them for dead in the sugarcane field, you know. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, I don't know how this happened, But the hose on my gas tank came loose somehow, and it was shooting gas out on my foot and everything I was running. I ran out of gas right in that same place. I thought, boy, I could be kidnapped out here. And I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? I put it in neutral and let it coast as far as possible, you know, and everything. And I finally came to a stop, and I started trying to push it, and there were these people coming towards me, and I thought, maybe this is it. Maybe this is how it's going to end up. And I thought, well, if I just start preaching the gospel and they kill me, maybe I'll get the martyr's crown. I did think that, honestly. I did think that. I was kind of selfish, but I thought, well, maybe I'll get the martyr's crown. So I did start. I started preaching to them, and I said, hey, I'm Pastor Harry. I started the church way over there, you know, and everything. And I talk about Jesus. I tell people about Jesus. Have you ever heard about Jesus? And one of them said, do you work with that other missionary doctor, Dr. Ann? I said, yeah, I sure do. And she said, oh, well, my brother helps her sometimes. I said, praise the Lord Jesus, I'm going to live another day, you know. But, you know, had I known those things, I probably wouldn't have done some of the things we did. And I wouldn't have some of the weird stories that I have, you know. Paul, God showed him all those things. Here's the thing you need to understand. God was with him every step of the way. Whether you know what's coming or you don't. Whether you're waiting on the results from a test, or you're waiting for the schedule for the treatment, God's right there with you. He is right there with you. And Paul went through all those things. In fact, turn to Acts chapter 26. Just a little bit different. He tells the story again. He actually tells the story three different times, and each time he gives a little bit more detail to his conversion and his call to the ministry. And he's there and he talks about these things that was going through. Acts chapter 26 verses 14 through 18. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me saying in the Hebrew tongue. Now that's something we didn't get from chapter 9. Jesus was speaking to him, what language? In the Hebrew tongue. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now that's something we had no idea in chapter 9 that God said all that. Jesus said a whole bunch of stuff there, and it wasn't until later on. And I don't know why Luke, the Holy Spirit had Luke just record certain things in certain places, but that's the way it was. And you put all three instances together, you get the full picture of what took place. But this was his call to the ministry. God called him and told him exactly what he was going to do. Sometimes God will tell us to do things and we won't quite understand what he's meaning, but we have to take a step of faith and he'll guide us. And let me tell you something. God will never hide his will from you. If you're seeking, he will never hide it. And if you take the wrong step, he'll help you correct that and get in the right way. I have found it far better in my life when I'm trying to make a decision to pray this prayer. Lord, shut the door that you don't want me to go through. Because I don't know about you, but Satan can open some pretty interesting and attractive doors. And me and my finite, just small self here, I get confused sometimes. But I do know this, that if we take the wrong step, he'll help us get back in the right path. Because he'll be right there waiting. And so that's what he was doing here. Paul was going there, and I don't think any of us could question the sincerity of Paul in persecuting the church. He really thought that was the worst possible thing that could happen. And he was doing his best to stop it. And God said, nope, you're going the wrong way. Let me get you over here and get you in the right way. And he went full bore for it in the right way. God will call you to do something. He won't hide it from you. You just have to be willing to take that step of faith. God places us where he needs us and at the time that he needs us there. Paul already knew what was going to happen before, all the things he was going to have to suffer. And God puts us, 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now hath God set the members of every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. And let me say this, there is also something about the timing. A need does not necessarily mean a call for you individually. Just because there's something that doesn't mean. Just because it's a great job opportunity doesn't mean that you have to go for it right then. Follow the leading of the Lord. We go through different seasons of our life. Seasons of preparation, seasons of work, seasons of change. We go through different seasons of our life. And you know, as you get to the point to where as we get older and more mature, we move from the season of working to the season of mentoring. You look at the book of Titus. The book of Titus says, let the older women teach the younger women. It didn't say the teenagers. The older women are to teach the younger women. The older men are to teach the younger men. There comes a point in time where we have served the Lord in this capacity, and now it's time to let the younger move into that capacity, and you are now in your season of life to where you are changing into the mentoring stage. Let's face it. We get older and we can't go as fast and as far as some people can. And it's time for we move into the phase of prayer support. Praying for that person. You can't go out and do all the stuff that you used to do, but you can stay home and pray and encourage and write letters and write notes to people to encourage them. You can have some of the younger ladies, you can have some of the younger ladies over for lunch or for dinner, for supper, breakfast, whatever, and encourage them and help them. And younger ladies and younger men, the same thing. Men, you can take them out to breakfast and things like that because you're moving into a different stage of life. You're moving into that mentoring stage. And listen, ladies and men, younger ladies and younger men, don't think you got it all figured out and I don't have to listen to those old people, because those old people have been through it and they've made the mistakes and they're just trying to help you out. And that wasn't in the message, that was just extra. So anyway, because I I'll be honest with you, I'm moving in that stage. I can't go as long as I used to. You know, I can't go on 4 hours of sleep for several days in a row anymore. I just can't do it. You know, I can't do that anymore. I'm just having to change. You know, you may not realize this, but I don't go to the gym and work out every day. Yeah, every time I say that, I wonder what they mean when they laugh. You know, but in fact, the kids at the school say, Mr. Peart, I like that that outfit you have on? And I always tell them, well, it's pretty easy for me to make clothes look good. And, you got to be that way with teenagers. You got to be that way. You got to talk some smack to them. But anyway, you have to, because they'll run all over if you don't. You know, you have to talk some junk to them. But anyway, but you know, God sets every person in the place and in the time. That's the key. It's a different time of life. Different time of life. God places He needs us in our birth order, in the place of birth, the year of birth, who we're born to, all those things. He put you there. He put you there for a reason. And you went through those different life experiences for a reason. God gave each of us a gift of life, and what we do with it is our gift to God. And it's not enough to be called. You have to be surrendered. You have to surrender. And that's what Paul was. Look at Acts chapter 26, verse 19 through 20. Whereupon, O Agrippa, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and to turn to God and do works meet for repentance. You know why we don't surrender a lot of times? Because we lack the love for God that we need. You know, I love my wife. And sometimes I want to go places, I want to do, she doesn't, and so I just say, well, we won't go. Because I love her and I want to, and she does the same thing for me. Because I don't mind that surrender, because I love her. And we come to the point with God, I love you, Lord. And you know what? We should get to the point to where we live our life to where it's almost as if we say, I love you, Lord, and God says, I know. Because of the way we live our life. I've counseled married couples, and I've heard them say this, I don't love you anymore. Or one will say, I do love you. And the other will say, well, you don't show it, or I don't believe you. Let's not be that way with the Lord Jesus. Let's not be that way with the Lord Jesus, our Savior. So what happens with that is our love for other things steals and robs our love for God. That's where we come with idolatry. And the other reason why we don't surrender to God is just for sin in our life. We become hard-hardened. Paul was not only was he surrendered, but Paul was sent with God's message. Look at verse number 22 and 23 of Acts chapter 26. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than these things which the prophet Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first thing, he should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. We have no more important message than God's message. Curtis Hudson said, the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience. We've got to get the message to this dying world. This, you know what? You can just look around this area you're in right now. It's a mess. You know why it's a mess? It's because of sin. Sin is the reason. And that's where we got to get the Word of God to help people. So Paul was sent with God's message and Paul spoke. Look at verse number 24 through 27. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus spoke with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. He was unashamed, even when they said, you're a crazy person. He said, I'm not crazy, I just believe God. He said, King Agrippa, you believe, don't you? You believe. Paul spoke, he was not ashamed. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He was unashamed, he was unbiased to everyone that believeth. He went to all cultures. He said, I have become all things to all men that I might win some. He was going to all cultures. He was going to all ethnicities. Everywhere Paul went, he saw lost people. That's all he saw, was lost people. And he wanted them to come to Christ. To everyone that believeth. And he was unbound. He went to the Jews, to Gentiles, to philosophers, to barbarians, to the rulers. He went everywhere. Acts 17, verse 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason, certain brethren, to the rulers to the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. This world's philosophy, the world's sin, they think it's the right way, and we need to take the gospel and turn that and say, no, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That is the truth of the Scripture that'll change your life and it'll change this community and change this world. And we've got to get the gospel to these people. What a wonderful thing to be a light in this area. And to be in this time that we're in. I can't think of a time in our history that we've needed the gospel more than right now. This country is in a mess. People are hating each other right and left. It's just the divisiveness, the hatred. It is void of the love of God. And that's what we need. The very thing that they need, they're pushing it away. And that's what we've got to carry to the world. Everywhere he went, Paul had one goal, to spread the gospel. And we need to make ourselves available to spread the gospel. You can spread the gospel here, but God may be talking to you about spreading the gospel somewhere else. Not just here in this area where you live, but God may be touching your heart and saying, it's time for you to move away from here and go somewhere else and spread the gospel. Don't be afraid. Step out by faith. Trust God, and He'll lead you where He wants you to go. Young people, you're at a fantastic time in your life. For me, I've got less time in front of me than I do behind me. But for you, you've got all this time in front of you, you've got all this possibility, you've got all these talents, and God can use you in this area, but in other places in the world to carry the gospel to the lost and dying world. You know, your church is very unique in the fact that it reaches people who cannot hear. I go in a lot of churches and they don't have anything like that. And you know, the deaf people are the largest unreached people group in the world. And this is a unique situation that you have interpreters, because that's not the way it is. A lot of places, they don't even have any deaf people. They're not even trying to reach deaf people. And as a young person to learn sign language, you'd pick it up faster than us adults. A way to reach the gospel, reach people with the gospel. Don't just keep it to this little area. Think globally. How will God use me to spread the gospel around the world? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your love. I know, Father, we went a little long, and thank you for people's attentiveness this morning. But I pray, God, that you would work in the lives and hearts of people this morning. Lord Jesus, there are people here that have so much to offer that you could use in so many different ways in your ministry. And I pray that you just speak to hearts today. Number one, if someone needs to be saved, that they would come forward. Give them the moral courage to step out and come forward and learn more from your word how they can be saved. But also for people to be more surrendered to you. Maybe there's a lady or a man here that you've touched their heart about reaching out and mentoring the younger ladies, the younger men. I pray, God, that you would just continue to work in their hearts and give them the courage and the understanding to be able to reach those young people. But Lord, I pray for the youth of this church, Lord, that you would just work through their life. Help Brother Isaac as he ministers to the youth, Lord, that you would just give them a burning desire to serve you. Help us all to be a better witness in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would, please stand, Brother Isaac. 153. Oh, what a wonderful song. I surrender all. Don't hold anything back. As they begin to play, whatever the Lord has spoke to your heart, maybe you need to come forward and just pray for a lost loved one. Maybe you need to pray and just say, Lord, just help me to know the next step I need to take.
Once again, thank you for joining us for the ESBC Pulpit Podcast. We hope that the message today has been a blessing to your heart and a challenge to you as well. If you have questions about what you've just listened to, or if you would like to know more about becoming a Christian, knowing Jesus as your personal Savior, please feel free to reach out to us. You can reach out by email at info@eastsidememphis.net or give our church office a call, 901-372-2583. Once again, that number is 901-372-2583. Join us again next week for another episode of the ESBC Pulpit Podcast.